Fingers crossed that the audio's not weird this week. That was super obnoxious last week.
Why did you guys record in the same place? Like, why did that happen?
I don't know. So the first 5 minutes were like, there was digital static on it. And it just went away after 5 minutes. I don't know why. So I don't know what happened with that. But then the problem became the tracks, even though we were sitting in the same rooms on the same computer, they were not, like, they came out of sync. And so I had to keep going in and kind of readjusting them every couple minutes.
Yeah.
But it made it so that I had to go in and try to mute any time where one of us was talking but the other wasn't, because you could hear the other person and it wasn't in time. So that's why there were so many tiny edits in there.
I can't believe you actually edited all of that. If it had been me, I would have simply said
no podcast,
no episode this week.
No, I don't like to not have an episode. And I know Chris like enjoys doing that and wanted to send it to their friends, so I wanted to make sure something came out of it.
Yeah, it's very thoughtful.
You know me. I'm a bitch, but sometimes I'm okay.
Well, I'm back in Denver.
Yeah, how's that?
It's good.
Are you wearing a sweater right now? A sweatshirt?
Yes.
I thought you said it was like 80 degrees there.
It's 100 degrees here.
That sounds terrible.
But our air conditioning unit is on the ceiling on the roof directly above my office. So just in order for the house to be 75 degrees where the thermostat is, it means my office is always like 60 degrees.
That sounds amazing.
I love.
I'm sleeping in there next time I'm there.
Yeah, it's great. And yeah, I could just close the vent, but then it would get really hot. And so I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it nice and cool. I can wear my sweater.
I love to wear sweaters.
Yeah, I got this off of like a university vintage website. So it's actual vintage from like the 80s or something. It's a Michigan crew neck. What are all those balloons behind you? Is that still from when you...
That's from when I got
from
there
like
from
2 months ago?
Those are the helium ones. I'm letting them float until they die, fulfilling their life goal. You can see two of them have started to succumb.
They've perished.
Yeah. They're hanging in. The one's hanging in there, but...
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I'm going camping this weekend?
Ooh.
I'm not really camping. So originally Chris was like, hey, my friends want to go camping this weekend. And I was like, oh, I don't like camping, so I'm not going to go. And they were like, everybody brings their partners. And I said, oh, no, I'm your partner. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, so we're going.
Guess we have to break up.
Yeah, sucks. Things were going so well up until now.
I don't know.
No, it's funny, though, because early on in the relationship, we talked about camping. And we were both like, oh, we don't like to camp. Maybe glamping. But, you know, I can't sleep when it's hot or humid or on the ground. Or, like, if someone looks at me the wrong way. So, camping is just not something I enjoy. And we came to an agreement that we're only going to stay for 2 nights, which is already great because that would be fine. But we're also going to stay at this fancy, like, bed and breakfast on the western side of this national park here.
So you're not actually camping. You're
so, we're not camping.
In a bed and breakfast.
Which is fantastic.
That's
There's
different.
A pool. Which I'm really excited for. But there's like a campground at the park and there's a pool there too. So, you know, we're going to go swimming anyway. But what really sealed it for me is that it's going to be 105 on Saturday when we're there.
No.
In this park, in the sun.
So you can't even go hiking or anything.
Well, that's what I said. Chris wants to go hiking in the morning.
Yeah,
like
you could
early,
get up,
like
you'd have to get up real
8
early.
8 a.m. or something. And I'm like, it's going
to
be
no, you'd 85 have to go
degrees
earlier.
At 8 a.m.
You'd
That's
have to go at like sunrise at like 5:30.
Even at
really
sunrise,
to
it's still going
to
be 75.
Yeah. We're doing, my mom is coming here Saturday night.
Yes.
They're staying with my brother for the first like 4 nights, and then they're staying with us for 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
But the morning after they get in, we're going to do a sunrise yoga thing at Red Rocks. So we have to be at Red Rocks at like 5:45.
How long does it take to get there?
Half an hour.
Oh, that's not bad. The thing,
yeah.
Part of the problem, like really the only downside of this inn, is that there's no direct route from the inn to the campground. You have to go up and around. It takes an hour and a half. So if we're trying to hike at like 8, that means I'm going to be up at like 6 to shower and get ready and then go drive and spend the whole day outside. And on my spreadsheet I made to plan what I need to pack, the activity for that day just says die, because that is what I intend to do.
I feel like you're not going to end up doing anything outside that day.
I mean, I'm fine if we're in the pool all day.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. I think the pool's going to be relatively warm. Well, that's the other thing. But we have a pool at the inn, so if the pool at the campground is crowded, we can convince everyone to get in an air-conditioned vehicle, which shouldn't be hard, and then drive to the inn and swim there. There's only, I think there's
like 8 of us total. Might not be able to bring total. Guests.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say.
You might not be able to.
Well, then they can all melt, and Chris and I can go in a pool.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, I went camping when I was younger. I did not care for it. It's too hot.
I can do it.
No.
If the weather's good, I can do it for like 2 nights.
I think 2 would be my top as well.
Want like a real shower and yeah. You have to like, one of the most important things if you're going to tent camp is having a system where you can keep your tent clean. Because once the tent inside starts to get dirty, then you're miserable. Because once it gets dirty, you can't get it undirty while you're camping.
You toss in the pool.
No. So you need like a real, like everyone has to agree on the system of like, we're going to take shoes and socks off and like take your jacket off before you get in the whatever. Like you have to all agree on the same terms of entering the tent.
Chris so that and I do that remains. Just like in our houses, and it always comes down to no pants, no shoes, no pants. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that might be for different reasons.
That feels different. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
My problem with sleeping in a tent has usually been that it gets humid in there from your breath condensing or whatever on the tent itself, and then it feels too humid. Or maybe just it's sleeping outside at night when it's the dew point is.
That seems incorrect.
I breathe so hard.
Most tents have ventilation.
I've never heard of how hard I breathe. I just remember any time I've slept in a tent, it has been incredibly moist, and I don't like it.
I feel like you need to get a better tent that has like a window.
This was like 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah,
they put me under a tarp and said, "Here's your tent, idiot."
I would love to do like an overnight in Rocky Mountain National Park, because you can, like wherever, you're just allowed to tent camp as long as you follow the rules. And but there's like Rocky Mountain National Park is so vast, like it's intimidating. Like you were there, it goes on for miles and miles, and it's huge mountains. And so I'm like, there are like so many bears in here and like wildlife that could just fucking eat me alive.
If you put up like a do not cross sign, legally they can't. So
they can't. They'll be trespassing.
That's one trick that they don't want you to know about, the bears.
Yeah.
If you put up no bear sign, they can't.
If the bears don't come to your campsite within the first 15 minutes, legally they can't come to your campsite. No, and I know there's like things that you're supposed to do that, you know, will get rid of the bears, but like you put your food waste up high in a tree and whatever and stuff like that. But it still would scare me. I don't think I would be able to actually sleep because I'd be scared of the bears. So anyway, we spent 2 weeks in Michigan plus 2 days on either side for driving. So it was 2.5 weeks total.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
It was good. It was enough time to be gone. It was a while.
Was Cammie excited to get back home?
Yeah. As soon as she got in the door, she went right on the couch.
Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, after never like leaving 13 again.
13 hours in the car. Yeah. Because we did most of our driving. We did most of our driving on the second day. The first day, we left Ann Arbor at like 9:30. And then we went and I have a friend that is at the University of Chicago. And so we went and hung out like on this like park beach that's on the south end of Chicago, and had like a picnic there, and then left Chicago at like 5, I'd say, and then drove another like 3 hours. So we got to Davenport, Iowa. So we stayed for the night at the world's largest truck stop.
What'd they have there?
Well, so we stayed at a hotel across the street from the world's largest truck stop, but the truck stop itself has a Pizza Hut, a Taco Bell,
oh,
a Einstein Brothers Bagels.
And that bagel?
I think they Albert have a Subway. Einstein. They have a giant like store, gift shop, and then there's a movie theater. There is mini golf. There's a chiropractor. There's a dentist, and there's a church. And their showers.
A church in the truck stop?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
When I was...
Because we left...
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Oh, Jesus. We left at like 7 or 8 on Sunday. And we stopped inside there first to get coffee and bagels. And they were like, church service is beginning in 5 minutes. And I was like, there's a church here too? Like, oh my God.
Did you guys go make out in the church?
No.
Why not? Jesus because died so that you could sin. Specifically.
We had to drive 13 hours. We had to drive so much. Mm. On the way out, we stopped pretty much halfway in Des Moines. Basically halfway, because David has an old friend that lives in Des Moines. But he lives downtown Des Moines, and I never knew that Des Moines is such a party city because we were sleeping in his apartment, and he was in, like, the fifth floor of, like, this high-rise, but it's, like, an older high-rise. Anyway, there was, like, two or three nightclubs, like, on this street, and it was a Wednesday, but they were going until 3 a.m., and then a train came through at 6, just so loud. And I just wept silently in bed because David can fall asleep quickly in any scenario.
It's because
he could
of
just
his
be
demons.
Instantly asleep. Yeah. So he was asleep immediately. I laid awake and around 3 a.m. just started crying because like we had to drive 8 hours the next day. And there's nothing worse than like there's nothing worse than laying in bed, not being able to sleep. But like, there's something so much worse when you know you have a thing that you have to do the next day that requires focus and energy, and yet I can't sleep. And then the train rolling through at 6 was the final straw in my sanity because I was like, okay, I'll just sleep. We'll leave a little later than we planned. We'll sleep in a little bit. And then the train came through at 6, and I was like, I am going to burn the city of Des Moines to the ground.
Yes, never again. Des Moines, never again.
Never again.
On Sunday night, because Sunday was the 4th, so we went and we're hanging out in Oakland with some of Chris's friends. And, like, we got home early. We watched, I think, Iron Man 2 or something. Like, we watched a movie, and people were shooting off fireworks, whatever. But then we tried to go to bed, and I don't know if it was the fireworks or it was just too hot in the apartment because we had the windows closed because of the fireworks, but I could not sleep. I think Chris and I both slept, like, 4 hours, and we were supposed to get up and go hiking first thing in the morning the next day. And I was just like, I don't want to. I just want to lay here. But I still got up and went and walked. I think it was like 4 miles. And
pretty good.
It was 3 or 4. And I was so tired. It was terrible. But I had that same moment of like laying in bed, just wanting to be asleep and almost crying. Because I was like, oh my God, I need to sleep, but I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I have that like bout of insomnia, it's always at like the 2 or 3 a.m. mark where I lose it. I just can't.
You might have mentioned on here before, but I know you've told me about that before where you're like, I get to a point and then I just want to die.
I just cry because yeah. Your brain just keeps going and going and going and you can't get it to stop. And then like pisses David off because then I start crying and then he's awake and he's like, well, like if you can't sleep, at least like don't wake me up too. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be alone in this hell if I have to be awake. So do you.
Don't wake me up with your tears.
You well the one night quieter, the one night when I didn't sleep at all because I was on some new medication that I ended up stopping because of that exact reason, I didn't sleep at all, and at like 3 a.m I was crying and David was like, all right, let's get up. So we went and we laid on the couch and we watched Thor Ragnarok.
It's a good movie, though.
It was relaxing. It was very relaxing. I still didn't sleep at all, but I felt better.
You got to laugh a little bit?
Yeah. And then the next day, I still couldn't sleep. Like, that was the worst thing about that medication was, like, you can't sleep at night. You also can't sleep during the day. You just can't sleep.
Good luck and staying also, alive.
All food makes you nauseous. You can't eat anything. And all of the reviews of this medication, it was Strattera, by the way. All the reviews were exactly the same. Well, there were a few people that were like, if you can survive the side effects for 6 weeks, they go away and then the medication works really well. But I'm like, who could live like this for 6 weeks? I cannot sleep or eat. I'm just going to die. Like,
well, I'm glad you didn't die sometimes.
Yeah, thank you. I stopped taking it after about a week and a half.
Yeah.
I finally was able to sleep again, but the appetite thing really just, I couldn't do it. It sucked. So now I take Adderall like a cool kid.
Now I take Adderall.
So now I take Adderall.
Isn't that there's a Vine or something where someone yeah. says Adderall with that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The kid, he goes, just got diagnosed with cool guy syndrome. So now I take Adderall.
He also doesn't know how to read, though.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. I'm going to be in Michigan next week, as I told you earlier, because there's a team happy hour, but also my mother wanted to see me, so I'll be going back. And just in time for art fair, which means it's going to be hot and raining. Never a better time to be in Ann Arbor.
Yep.
But I am going to make Alex go to Last Word with me. He says he's never been there, which I find hard to believe.
I don't think that's true. I feel like no, it might be true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he said it, so as much as I hate to believe him, that seems to be the case. Well,
this was, like, the thing, like, he's so dead set on staying in Ann Arbor for whatever reason, but he hasn't been to, like, any Ann Arbor places. Like,
hasn't he been to Tomacoon with us?
Yeah, but like
that's a place.
No, but like we were like, oh, you could get a place on the west side and then become a regular at Wolverine Brewing, and he was like, what's Wolverine Brewing?
And then, I've never been there either, but I don't.
Okay, but you're not insisting on living in Ann Arbor.
In fact, I'm then, against living in Ann Arbor specifically.
When David and I were in town, and we were like, oh no, like this was funny. So we got to Ann Arbor, and then Peter texted David and was like, Peter Honeyman was like,
P-Huns.
Me and Lynn are going to see this jazz thing. Like, come with us.
Where
and
was it?
Apparently. Well, so what we were leaving David's parents' house to go meet them. And then Peter was like, just kidding. It's all indoors. We'll find somewhere outside to eat. And then all of a sudden it was like severe weather. So they were like, just come over to our house. So we went to their loft, which is super cool. We hung out there for like an hour, and then it was like 8 or something, and we were supposed to meet. No, it was almost 9, and we were supposed to meet Alex at Grizzly Peak at 9. Mm-hmm. Turns out Grizzly Peak closed at 9 for whatever reason.
What?
So we were like, well, we're still at Peter and Lynn's, so we'll let you know when we leave and we'll find somewhere to meet. And then Alex just showed up at Peter and Lynn's and just like walked in their front door and like came into the living room and sat down with us, and Peter was like, what the hell? It was funny, and then we're like, you just walked in, and Alex is like, the door was open, like he's been there before.
The door was open, like, really, I know funny. Where you live.
Yeah.
He does that to people when they're in the bathroom too.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, I looked at my phone because a lot of places are closing earlier than they normally would, like during the week, because whatever, there's still a pandemic or something.
That can't be true. A what? You're drunk.
So we were like, let's go to Raven's because they were open till 10. So we, so Alex was like, I've never been to Raven's. We were like, the fuck? So then we go to Raven's and they're like, the kitchen is closed, but you can get drinks. So we got 2 rounds of drinks. And then we were all, after 2 rounds of drinks and no dinner, we were like, oh my God, let's go to Fleetwood. Of course. And Alex mm-hmm. goes, oh, great. I've never been.
How has he never been to Fleetwood, at least? That's right by the office. That's like prime lunch.
I know.
Jesus.
I never had lunch there. I've only eaten there like after 11 p.m.
So the first time I went there was my band had played the Blind Pig and we went afterwards and I don't remember it, but I'm told I enjoyed it. And then the next time I went was after I had moved back to Ann Arbor after living here and then started going there for lunch because I found out you could get like a salad, just the big fucking plate of salad. And I would get that with yep. French fries and I would just destroy it. It was so good. Mm-hmm. But I would go there for lunch because that like TSE lunch was always later than normal lunch. So it wasn't busy. You could walk in, it's close, you get your food and you're done. So that was nice.
I just, anywhere that I can get a grilled cheese at 3 a.m. is just a really great place. Because when I'm drunk, all I want is a grilled cheese and French fries.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I yeah, like, very exciting I still stuff. Miss Old Town. I really liked the burgers at Old Town.
Oh, no.
I like them. I don't care.
Old Town, the food just always seemed like it just came right out of a Sysco food truck. Like, not Sysco, but like Sysco, oh. the food oh, distributor. Oh,
Sysco, like with the bridge.
No.
What?
Like, everything you can just tell is like standard mass distributed food. There's nothing there that's like, it's like a quesadilla, a burrito, a burger, a salad. It's fine. It's whatever.
But that was another one. Like, I like the burgers anyway. I don't care. But that was another one that was close to the office and wasn't busy when I
would
go in there, and it was tasty. I don't care if it's frozen, if it tastes good.
Yeah. We would always go to Grizzly Peak.
Whatever. Oh, I do. I got way more into Grizzly Peak, though, too. I liked their turkey sandwich.
Fucking love Grizzly Peak.
So good.
Their sweet potato fries. I missed them so much. I went there with the SSO Happy Hour gang.
Can't believe I wasn't invited to that.
Okay, you were, but whatever.
No, I was in Michigan. No, I wasn't in Michigan. One of the two.
Yeah, but I got their tasty salad and sweet potato fries and cheese curds, and it was just, I was so happy.
Mm-hmm. I used to get the, there's like a steak sandwich on like potatoes, like hash browns basically.
Yes.
But I'm like, this isn't a sandwich, this is a salad I've got to chop up. But that shit was good.
Yeah. I crossed off all the food places I wanted to eat at except for Jolly Pumpkin. We never made it to Jolly Pumpkin, and I love their pizzas so much and their French fries.
I hope to have no tie while I'm back.
We did have no tie. We met Kyle and Alex at the Grotto, and Alex brought the no tie. So, and then I had Frida's, I did Grizzly Peak, we did Raven's. What else did we do? We ate at other places too.
I wasn't there.
I'm blanking. I don't know. It was good. I didn't go to Grazie, I guess. That was, but I can get good Italian food anywhere. Yeah.
Didn't you and me and David go there just before I moved?
We did. There's a cute picture of us.
I know. I took a really nice picture.
We look like we're your parents after you got a good grade on your report card. So we took you out to nice dinner. Mom and Dad are so proud of you.
I mean, to be fair, I was leaving. So that was good for me. And I deserve it.
Yeah, and we went on Monday when they had the half-off bottles of wine.
Mm-hmm. Which just means you get two bottles of wine.
Yeah, obviously. Fucking... so yeah, it was good. It was just, it was a long time to be gone. And also we did one full week with each set of parents, which is, you know,
do you think your parents to see would everybody. Swing together?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's too bad.
No. David's dad is very peculiar.
Does he listen to this?
No.
Okay.
No. He's like a very good person, but he's just always really cranky all
the
time.
So he's like David, but older.
David is not even 10% of the level.
I can't
of
even
cranky.
Imagine then.
So you can imagine. So bad. He's like a very nice person deep down, but just so cranky.
Do you think he and your dad will become fast friends? Like, no, have they all met yet?
No.
Ooh.
I don't think our dads would get along at all. I think my dad and my mom would get along with David's dad great, but I don't think my mom or dad would enjoy his dad just because he's just a grump. My dad is such a bubbly and like excited person mm-hmm. about everything. Like, he's just super social, super bubbly.
Yeah, he still texts me all the time.
Yeah. So I just don't, I think he would just be like, what's this guy's deal? But it was good. It was nice to hang out with everybody. And we got to see the dogs. Very sadly, they have two dogs, but one was very old and they had to put him down while we were there, mm-hmm. which is very sad. It was really strange. It was as if he kind of like hung on until we got there, and then he really started to deteriorate.
But he was like, here you go, get ready for this.
Yeah, he's like, welcome home, I'm about to die.
That's going to be me next time I visit you guys, too.
Yeah.
What up? I'm
just
here
so you know,
to die.
I have terminal cancer.
Yeah.
Just
I've got a
on.
Week left, and I want to spend it at the place
at,
with the good
the
salads.
At the hot pot restaurant in Denver.
Yeah. And what is it, Stoney's or whatever?
Stoney's is great.
I love that salad. The one I went to the other time didn't have it. I was disappointed.
There's also a Stoney's downtown.
Yeah, I think that's
you
went
to the uptown one.
Oh, well then whatever one we normally go, we went to twice.
We went to the one in uptown.
That shit was
you
so good.
Went to the also the one in Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. and then there's
a third one.
One downtown. Yeah, there's three.
Okay,
I drove past it. That's how I saw it. But yeah, well, when you come back to visit. We'll go to Stoney's several more times, I'm
Yay.
Sure. Yeah. Yay. Just every night.
Be like, you never know. This could be the night. Want to go out happy.
Yeah. Want to have that salad.
When I die and my bowels expel, I want it to be mostly spinach.
I want it in my will. I want all my objects bequeathed to Stoney's Uptown in
yes.
Denver, Colorado.
They can make
please use this money to make more salad.
Yeah, please. I never want anyone to have to pay for salad. If they come in, they get a free salad. That is my
on
bequeathment
me.
To you.
Yeah. Yeah. Until the money runs out.
An endowment just to get people free
salad. Salad endowment.
Maybe I should do that.
That would be cute.
But it's a one specific kind of salad. No matter what, they can't get something different. It's just that.
The Jessica
no
Memorial Salad.
Yeah. And it's just one of the salads that's already on the menu, except I added jalapeno or whatever.
Would you want your ashes sprinkled in each salad? Like, we put your ashes in one of the Parmesan shakers and then just kind of...
That feels right.
The waitress comes over and they're like, fresh Parmesan? And then they put Parmesan on it and then they're like, ashes? And
yeah.
You're like, what?
Little Jessica
no,
on
no.
top?
Just say when.
And people are kind of like, I don't want to be disrespectful. But how
this
much
was
do
her,
most people do?
This was her dying wish, but like, I feel like it's not safe for me
yeah.
to eat. I don't know.
And like, no, the FDA says it's cool. I think they were just trying to see if we would really do it.
There's tons of signs in Rocky Mountain National Park. Like, at each trailhead, there will be a sign that's like, if you are here to sprinkle ashes, like, here are the rules. Because it's pretty common for people to want to just have their ashes sprinkled in the national park instead of buried. Which I get. Then you're not, like, taking up a plot of land. And like, you know,
yeah, I don't
it's
understand
weird.
That any anyway.
So there's, like, signs about the rules. And you just have to do it at least, like, 50 feet off of a trail. And you can't do it into water, I think, are the rules. Mm.
I'm going to have mine, each of you is going to have to do a shot of my ashes. It's like a cinnamon challenge, but it's my ashes.
Oh my God. That visual of like gray powder, like down the hatch, tablespoonful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but whoever does it gets part of my salad endowment.
Oh man.
All right.
Should we do a post?
Yeah. We're like 30 minutes in already.
All right, I'm going to do this one first. Am I the asshole for telling my wife that if she wants to bed share, she needs to sleep in the kid's bed? My wife and I have been together for 6 years. She has a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. Okay, that's older than I expected when I read the title that said bed share. Because I think that's like when people let their little kids sleep in the bed. Okay, when we first got together, they were still They were both still in her bed. They were relatively small, and I worked nights, so it was never an issue. Last year, I suffered a work injury and now have to sleep on a memory foam mattress. I assumed by now both kids would have grown out of co-sleeping, but obviously haven't. I cannot comfortably sleep in a bed with two kids, especially because my stepson, 9, is a little ninja. He is constantly kicking through the night. Is it David?
Does David kick at night? I've seen him kick during the day.
No, it's just within like the first 30 minutes after he falls asleep. He's incredibly twitchy. And then
I bet he's
fine.
Dreaming about chasing a squirrel.
Yeah. The really alarming thing, and I really want him to get like a mouth guard, is right when he falls asleep. I can tell because he starts going like. And I don't understand it. And I've told him he does it. And he's like, what? Really?
Yeah. He's like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. So last night we were in bed. We were spooning, as you do.
What?
And
I think it's separate beds.
His head was like on my shoulder. And we were just watching TV. And then all of a sudden I just feel his jaw just start to go.
Because he caught the squirrel and he's chomping it.
I had to I rolled him over, like, just like, that's enough. And rolled over the other side of the bed.
That sounds terrible.
Well, once it's only like right when he falls asleep. But anyway, yeah, he's very, very twitchy. Okay. I apparently talk in my sleep sometimes.
Yeah, so I completely interrupted your story.
Well, I apparently talk in my sleep sometimes, mm-hmm. which is new.
It's weird because when you do it, it's all in German, and I know you don't speak German.
That would be so cool.
I can't take credit for that's a joke from Silicon Valley, but that's what I thought of first.
Oh, it's a funny show. Yeah, there have been a few nights recently where in the morning David has just been like, "Yeah, you talked last night," and I was like, "What did I say?" And he's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "You gotta I want to know."
He's like, "You
gotta tell me."
You really hate Jess because that's what you were talking about. He's like, "Fucking kill you, Jess."
There have been a few nights where I've dreamt that I've said something like next to him in bed, and then I'll wake up and be like, did I say something last night? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, it's so weird. That's so weird. All right. Anyway. Okay. I assumed both kids would have grown out of co-sleeping, but obviously haven't. I can't comfortably sleep in a bed with two kids, especially because the stepson is a ninja. He is constantly kicking. Okay. They will occasionally sleep in their own beds, but very rarely. My stepdaughter is a little better, but the stepson will have meltdowns if we try to send him to his own bed. That's so strange. My wife doesn't believe that we should force them out, which I understand, but I can't keep sleeping on the couch when they're in the bed. A couple days ago, I blew up over it. My back is killing me, and I'm tired. I essentially told her to take the kids and to sleep in one of their beds. I need the comfortable mattress for my back. We never really got to discuss it because stepson got upset and started crying. That night, she took the kids to her parents for the night, and back at home, she explained that they wouldn't all fit in one of the kids' beds. She agreed that I could have the big bed, but is ordering a memory foam mattress for our son's bed so I can sleep there comfortably. I don't want to sleep in a kid's bed. I want my bed, and I'd like to actually spend a night with my wife. Her parents are on her and the kids' side, obviously, but I still don't think I should have to give my bed up for them in the nicest way possible. I paid for it. The issue is getting worse. My in-laws are now calling me abusive for trying to take their comforts. What? So am I the asshole? Okay, important info. Both kids and my wife are autism spectrum disorder diagnosed, and stepson also has ADHD. Okay, I really don't know that applies, but this is so weird. Not the asshole at all.
I don't think he's the asshole, but it sounds like I'm reading some of the comments and it sounds more, it sounds like there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It doesn't sound healthy. The top comment makes a great point, which is, I think it's problematic for your wife to expect you to sleep night after night with a teenage stepdaughter. I have to agree. I just, like, where does this end, you know? Like, there's a lot of, I know, it's like a hot parenting topic about co-sleeping and whether or not it's something you should do or shouldn't do, and I don't really have an opinion, but I think you have to respect your marriage also. And if you're constantly allowing kids to sleep in your bed, like, I don't know. It's weird.
One of the comments says, my wife co-slept with her parents until she was 16 and was working full-time with a degree, living on her own by 25. So he's saying, like, it doesn't harm them to co-sleep later, although I would also say 16 seems late.
16-year-old girl sleeping in the same bed as her dad is weird, in my opinion.
I would say it's uncommon. I don't know. If people want to do that, it seems fine. It's not... Sure. I don't see anything inherently wrong with it. It's unusual. I'm reading through some of these other ones to see what is worth sharing or what is just
he has a weird comment here. So he says, obviously I knew, he knew before they got married. He says, everyone seems concerned about my sex life. If marriage is only sex, I can't imagine your relationship is particularly healthy. Like,
that's tied into a different comment because he mentioned that the wife is asexual, so they don't have sex.
Oh, I see. I thought, okay, got it. We don't get sex at all.
First baby was pressure from her ex. Second baby was non-consensual.
Oh, Jesus. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said the comments make me think that, like, all of them are in therapy, which is good. The kids are also in occupational therapy, which to my understanding was more like physical stuff. So I don't know. Maybe there's something else going on there.
It sounds like he just wants intimacy, like, even if it's not sex, but like a night alone in bed with your wife. I feel like that's not too much to ask for.
Because there's also right? some like, trauma with the bio dad.
This hardly seems sustainable. Like,
I know it sounds like a really terrible situation for him, but at the same time, like, if the kids have needs that are met by sleeping in the bed with them, like, what are you gonna do?
I wonder, could you have the kids sleep in a bed together, like the two kids together? Would that maybe fill the void of, like, they don't want to sleep alone? And then it's, you know, maybe that could be the compromise, is like, I don't know, I'm not a parent. Maybe.
It might be that they need or want the mom and dad around too. So I don't know, but I don't think anyone's asked. I think it's a no assholes here situation. It's just very complex. People who have needs.
Yeah, but although, like, it seems there's people who have needs here, and they're not, she's not respecting his needs, right? Like, he's got a physical need of needing a good mattress, and he paid for the nice mattress for his bedroom and then was being forced out to the couch. And now, he wants the need of intimacy in his marriage, of, like, spending a night alone with his wife, and she doesn't care about that, and that, like, seems problematic. So I don't know that it's completely no assholes here, but... I don't get the impression that she doesn't care. I think this seems like it's not sustainable, because he's getting just more and more and more frustrated, like, just wanting one night without the kids in the bed, and he can't get it. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think she's in a place where it's like, okay, well, I have to do the right thing for my kids, who are clearly traumatized in various ways, and, like, also I want to do something for my husband. So it's like the compromise seemed to be, like, we will get a nice mattress in the other bed so that when this is going on, you can sleep there if you need to. But I don't think there's an easy answer for anybody. I don't think anybody's an asshole is all. Like, how is she supposed to decide between the kids and the husband if the kids, like, right, have emotional breakdowns?
Well, I think you have to start figuring out, like, so there's a comment here about how they helped the kids wean off of the co-sleeping, because the comment is basically like, they're not going to self-wean. Like, if you keep letting them do this, they're going to keep doing it. And if you like it and they like it, then that's fine. But it sounds like one person in this marriage particularly doesn't like it. And so you have to figure something else out. And so They said, I've co-slept with my kids, two of whom are not neurotypical and didn't self-wean with the co-sleeping. The way we weaned them was to first put a single bed in our room close to our bed for them to sleep in at night. That way they were right next to us, but they were in their own bed. Then we moved the bed away from ours up against another wall. Then we moved the bed into their room, and we had them start every night in their room and in their bed, but had an air bed and blankets on the floor next to my side of the bed for them to come in if they needed. Then eventually the air bed was removed, and if they wanted to sleep in our room, they had to go grab some cushions off the couch and bring them in themselves. It honestly took well over a year of very, very slowly getting them used to and comfortable with each stage. Now my 13-year-old occasionally comes in and sleeps on the couch in our room, but with patience and a gentle approach, it can be done in such a way that you have your bed and mattress from the outset. They aren't forced into a sudden situation that they aren't mentally or emotionally ready to deal with. That seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds like a good way to approach it, but it goes, like I said, I don't think there's an easy answer. I think there's more of communication and figuring stuff out and working together as a family.
I think the respect has to go both ways, because she's like, no, this is our situation, whereas it sounds like he expected at a certain age they would start to wean off of it, and now that he has expressed that he no longer is comfortable with it, she's kind of just like, okay, well, go sleep in another room, right? And that's clearly not okay with him. And, like, you know, marriage has to be, you have to be a team.
A turbo team.
The team.
We're the ones who run. I still think no assholes here.
I don't think anyone's an asshole here. I just think the wife has to consider, like, you have to also consider what your husband wants. You cannot just blanket say, no, you have to sleep in another room. So that sucks.
You and David made me sleep in different rooms while I was there, so I don't think you have any ground to stand on here.
That we didn't let you sleep in our bed?
You didn't let me sleep anywhere I wanted to.
What? You slept in the basement because it was cold.
That was better, yeah. That was the coldest place in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can take our break and then we'll come back and do a couple more. I'll read the next one here. Becca's still caught up on this last one, so.
I still read all the comments.
Yeah. We we took a 4-hour break so that she could catch up on them.
Yep.
I'm going to read this one that seems funnier. The title is, Am I the Asshole for Talking About My Aunt's Watermelon Ass?
How did I know you were going to pick that one?
Because I'm all about watermelons. I don't know. I don't actually like watermelon. My son and his friend put up a tire swing in the yard for my grandchild. I posted a picture of me swinging in it on Facebook. My aunt, my dad's sister, commented on it saying, I hate skinny people. I'm not one for Facebook drama, so instead of commenting back, I called her. I basically said, I don't talk about her watermelon ass, so she shouldn't be talking about my weight. Now all my aunts, 5 of them, are mad at me because apparently skinny people can't be body shamed and that I should have told her first that I didn't like those comments instead of straight out calling her out on her watermelon ass like I did. I don't think I'm the asshole because it's not like I told her that I'm skinny because my sisters and I have always exercised more, so we didn't inherit the family watermelon ass. But skinny is also something I didn't really have to work for. It's just how I am. That's the end of the post.
This is funny. Not the asshole. I wouldn't have gone straight for the watermelon ass. It's not very nice.
I would have said, like, hey, here, you know, I didn't appreciate you saying this. Here's why.
You could have just said, like, yeah, I don't to make go comments there. About your weight, so you don't need to comment on mine. But, like, to go straight for the watermelon ass.
That's the thing. There's a comment that says, from the poster, says, don't Google watermelon ass, because that is not what I meant by calling her that. And now I want to Google watermelon ass, because I don't even know what's going to come up. But I have to assume it's people putting watermelons inside of their butts.
All of the rulings are, everyone sucks here, but this is funny. Somebody says, everyone sucks here, but I would upvote twice if I could, because the story's hilarious. Next time, don't stoop to her level. I agree. Everyone sucks here, including me, because I can't stop laughing at watermelon ass.
Yeah, I do think, like, just in general, don't comment on people, on, like, their bodies in a very general sense. Like, don't bring it up. It's not your business. So
also, like, it's, but also, it's not the same to compare shaming someone because they're skinny versus shaming someone because they're fat, because society just really fucking hates fat people. It's like,
it's true.
Like, there is some privilege to just having always been genetically thin in terms of society will look at you differently. So I, like, you can't necessarily say they're on the same level. Like, well, you called me skinny, so I'm allowed to call you fat. It's like, that they're different.
Well, because, that goes back to me saying, I don't think you should comment on people at all. Like, just don't comment on people's bodies.
Yeah.
It is very funny, though. Like, just the term. I'm going to Google watermelon ass. I'm so sorry. Oh, it comes up with Watermelon Association of Florida. Watermelon butt comes up on Urban Dictionary. Shall I read you the definition?
Yes.
A person who has had so much butt sex that their butthole gets big enough to fit a watermelon. Can be used to describe someone who is gay, an enemy, a slut, etc. The quote is, God. You're such a watermelon butt. It is a noun.
I was worried it was a verb. Thanks for clarifying.
I'm going to watermelon butt you later.
Yeah.
I think it's an everybody sucks here.
Absolutely.
If I'm being honest, which I am always.
Apparently in one of the comments, she clarified that the aunt is 70 years old. So she probably didn't even realize that she was being a jerk. But then you had to call an old woman and you had to be a bigger jerk. Which is just like, come on.
I honestly think the better thing would have been to call out and say, hey, don't comment on people. Because that's the kind of shit that I think older people get away with. They'll be, I don't know, rude and inappropriate. And people are like, well, they're older, you know, they were raised differently. And I'm like, well, that doesn't mean they can keep being assholes. Watermelon assholes. Wow, ooh. That's a big yawn. You doing okay?
I'm tired. Okay. Yeah.
Well.
I had all meetings today, so I've just been talking all day.
4 hours of meetings in a row. Tired. And then I went to Hot Pot. Like to,
yeah,
because I got to expense lunch. I was like, nope, I need to step away for a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a lot of meetings.
It's a lot. All right.
Yeah, that one's pretty straightforward. Let's do the next one.
I'm gonna do this one because it also sounds silly. Am I the asshole for asking my brother if I could feed my snake his dead hamster? Kind of morbid, but just give me a chance. I am 16, female, and I have a corn snake. He's my best friend, and I love him very much. So let me say that I know how precious animals can be to people. I have 3 younger siblings, 13 female, 10 male, and 8 male. But the youngest sibling is the one involved in this situation. My youngest brother, Luke, had a hamster, a capital H. Sorry, my leg had an itch.
It was the
hamster. Who recently died at the ripe old age of 3 from old age. Luke has been understandably very upset about it. I wasn't really attached to it, so I wasn't really affected. The morning that the hamster died, I got an idea. My snake has a bunch of frozen food abundant, but I figured he might like something that hadn't been frozen and thawed. The way I looked at it, the hamster would be doing something beneficial with his life, which would be feeding something else. I went and explained this to Luke and asked him if it would be okay if the hamstring autocorrect.
Hamstring is a hamster that you can peel like a string cheese.
If the hamstring was fed to my snake, hysterics followed. Luke was apparently devastated by my question and went and told our parents about it. Now they are mad at me for just asking a question, and my mom told me I shouldn't have asked the question so soon after the death. even though if I hadn't asked so soon, then the hamster would have been buried. And our dad says, I shouldn't have asked at all because it was cruel that I should have talked to them instead of just asking Luke. I feel like the hamster really could have done something important in this life rather than being buried. I don't think it was such a big deal of me to ask and I didn't push it, so I shouldn't be getting scolded about it, but other people feel differently. Yeah, you're the fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's... I don't know how you go, listen, it was just a question.
What the... Okay, like, I'm with you on the logic. I'm with you on the logic of it's just a fucking hamster.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I can feed it to my snake. Should have just gone to the parents and be like, can we put it in a box and pretend to bury it and then I can give it to my snake? And then the parents probably would have been like, sure, because the brother's never going to know. But instead, you tried to explain to an 8-year-old that his hamster's life would have meaning if you fed its dead carcass to a snake. Which, what? I really like the emphasis, the fact that they've mentioned 3 times the hamster could have done something important in his life. Like, that's not important. Like, it
matters. That hamster didn't fulfill his purpose, which was to be food. The one comment the poster has is, who says I don't recognize the importance of empathy? I understand how my question could come off to some people, but to me, the real empathy is in providing for others, even if it's hard. I feel like that empathy suits your purpose right now, and that's why you feel that way.
I think this is a tiny sociopath.
Username is Adorable Arachnid 313.
They might be in Detroit then.
I saw the 313, that's what I thought too. I was like, oh God, what if we know them? What if this is the child of one of my friends?
I'm worried because they say that the snake is her best friend, and then her definition of empathy was straight up not what empathy is. So who says I don't understand empathy?
Yeah,
all I wanted was to use his most prized best friend to feed my Voldemort snake. Like, I don't see how that's not empathy. This is so twisted. I take this child to therapy.
Please.
Please.
Someone's child needs help.
This is like, yeah, this is some really detached shit of like, the hamster will serve society by being fed to my snake. Like, this sounds like a tiny little Voldemort. Tiny 16-year-old Voldemort. What if we could turn the hamster into a Horcrux?
A Horcruxster.
I know, I was trying to think of a...
a Hamstrux.
I was like, Hamstrux or Horster.
Hamstrux is when someone hits you with like a baloney.
Oh,
like they slap
right.
You, but it's baloney.
That's mm-hmm, baloney. Mm-hmm. All right.
These ones go quick. Okay, here's the last one we've got pulled for today.
Then I gotta go eat dinner anyway, so.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Okay. This one's from Street Mitch, who says, am I the asshole for turning on my sprinklers and soaking a guy working on his car? It's not a question, though. So it says, am I the asshole for turning on my sprinklers and soaking a guy working on his car? In my neighborhood, parking is horrible. People constantly park in front of my driveway/garage. Garage. I have tried talking to my neighbors who do it, and it fixes the issue for a couple days, but then they end up doing it again. The only way to get them towed is to have the police come out, and I've tried a couple times, but it takes them hours to get here because it's low priority. I don't blame them. I also don't want to have to call them every day, as it's just a waste of both of our times. Yesterday, around 5, the neighbors across the street decided to do some car maintenance in front of my driveway. They have a garage and a driveway that will fit a couple of cars, but they own 5 cars, so there's no space. Instead of moving one of the cars, moving one of their cars and doing it in the driveway, they did it in front of mine. At first, I thought they blew a tire and were just changing it real quick, so no big deal. An hour later, I see they're doing an entire brake job and oil change, blocking my driveway and garage. So instead of talking to them for the 100th time, I turned on my sprinklers, which eventually runs into the street, soaking the area they were laying into work. They hurried up and moved their car after about 30 minutes, 3 hours after they started. I could hear through my security cameras the guy cussing and calling me an asshole. Now, I've been dealing with this for a year and a half, and if this was their first time or if they were just parking there, I would have asked them to move. But it's a constant battle, so I feel justified in my action. TLDR, parking sucks at my house. Neighbors with five cars decided to work on their cars for 3 hours in front of my garage driveway. Turned on sprinklers to make the area they were working in wet.
Not the asshole. Absolutely not.
I hope this just keeps escalating.
Yeah. The entitlement of I have five cars, and instead of moving one of my five cars so that I can fix my brakes in my garage, I'm just going to park in front of someone's driveway. Not even park it in the street. You're blocking their driveway, which is illegal.
I'm reading the comments now. It said, if I wanted to pull out of my in or out, I'd have to ram them. They live in Sacramento. Let's see.
Yeah, like somebody points out, like, what if you had an emergency? Like, what if you had to go to the hospital? Like, you're stuck. And if they're fixing their brakes, they can't move their car while they're doing it. Are you reading more comments?
Yeah, I'm just reading to see if there's any. He says he's got a bunch of signs up. He's talked to them a bunch of times. He's been blocked in for hours in the past. So nothing so far has deterred them from doing that.
I feel like the police need to just start finding these people. Like, getting it towed. Getting a car towed, it costs like $300 every time. Oh, I know.
When I was extremely poor and I was living in Ypsilanti, I got a car towed because I parked in a resident parking spot and someone called and towed my car. Which, to be fair, was my fault. I parked there, but we had done it a bunch and no one ever said anything. But it cost me $350 and it was literally $50 more than the money I had. And so that was what really broke the camel's back at the time. And I went spiraling to debt for like 10 years as a result. Like, it was that bad. Is just that one thing overdrew me, which then you get fines and fines and fines and all that. And I was not making enough money to recover. It took years. It's terrible. So you would think that's a deterrent. But I would imagine that, yeah, it's relatively low priority. That one of the comments says that in his neighborhood, you can't call a tow truck directly until after the police have come and issued like a no parking ticket.
I think that's, yeah, if you don't live like in an apartment complex that pays a tow service, like a tow service won't come unless there's a police report. So, because, like, I've only ever lived in apartments where there's a parking lot, and the parking lot has a sign that's, like, we use. If you're in Ann Arbor, it's, like, Brewers Towing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen those all over the place. That's one of the groups that got me.
Yep.
The poster is a moderator of a subreddit called Nips Won't Quit. There's only one post, though, and the video's been copyright strike, so I don't know.
This just makes me panic, because I'd be thinking, like, what if I like had to go to the hospital and there are cars street parked on either side of your garage or your driveway legally, and then there's this fucking asshole fixing his brakes in front of your driveway. He can't move his car because the brakes are broken, and the cars on the other side are just other people's cars. How are you gonna fucking get out if you have to get out? That gives me so much anxiety. You'd have to like knock on your neighbor's door and be like, please take me to the hospital because this fucking asshole is in my driveway.
And they'd be like, oh, actually, that's my car. And he'd be like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so, oh my gosh.
Well, I don't think he's the asshole, because that's a relatively low stakes thing to do to make them go away. And if he's already told them a bunch of times to, please don't do this, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
People are rude.
What do you do? That's way lower than I would have gone. I feel like I would have, like, after talking to them, having the car towed. I feel like after you know, you talk to them multiple times, you start putting up signs, then you start calling the cops, and then they keep fucking doing it. What else are you going to do? Yeah, I don't know. Go out there with a gun.
Yeah, two guns.
It's trespassing.
Old two-gun Lynch out there. Trying to get you to move your car.
That's me. Yeah, I fucking hate that so much. There's just people that, no matter what you do, they just, they're entitled and they just don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you.
They've also posted on r/Sacramento about a missing person.
I saw that too.
My SO is trying to find her aunt. She's all she has left from her dad's side of the family who has passed away. There's any resources for trying to find someone in the area. We asked the local police if they had any information, but they didn't seem willing to help. They said she is most likely homeless and ended it there. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't go to Sacramento. That's not true. I went just north of there to get my vaccine, but that's the only time.
All I know about Sacramento is what I've seen in the film Lady Bird.
What did they show in there?
They showed a bunch of stuff. San Francisco, I've never seen stuff. It. Oh my God.
Okay, well, you don't like Marvel movies, so I don't like your indie nonsense.
Look, I'm not one to recommend films because I get annoyed when people recommend films to me.
You need to watch Ted Lasso, is what you need to do. Now I
extra don't want to watch it. But Lady Bird is a phenomenal movie. It's so, so good, and I think you would actually like it.
I probably would. I just don't really watch things, or I only watch things that I've already seen mm-hmm. and know I like.
It really gets into the complexity of, like, a mother-daughter relationship. And I saw it for the first time when I was at, like, a complicated point in my... No, it was after I moved to college, so it wasn't as bad. But, like, yeah, there are some scenes in there that are just very raw and real, and it's like, holy shit. It's very good. It's very, very good. And Saoirse Ronan is just, she's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Timothy
Dalton.
What's his face?
McGraw.
Yes. Timothy, Timothy Champagne.
Is that a real name?
It's Timothy Chalamet, I think, is his real name.
Timothy Champagne sounds like a male stripper name.
It does.
Little
it's like his last name is all exotic. His last name's all exotic. Champagne, his first name, Timothy. My dad's name is Timothy.
I know. I said Timothy Lynch as one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's also a male stripper.
No.
I mean, he opens the mail, right?
Okay. All right, with that.
He's a male stripper. Get it?
With that.
Becca.
We're going to go.
Hey.
What?
Get it?
What? I get it.
What's your favorite shuttle disaster? Challenger or Columbia?
Columbia.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know anything about either of them.
Really?
Really.
So in Challenger... they had an O-ring fail, and so propellant got in there and lit on fire, and that's why it blew up on one of the SRBs. And then for Columbia, some of the insulation at launch ran into the heat shield on the shuttle, on the wing. And so when they were re-entering, and NASA knew this, when they were re-entering, the heat built up in there and just disintegrated the shuttle. In both cases, it's possible that astronauts were alive throughout most of the disaster.
Awful.
So I guess I'm just surprised you picked either one of those. You should have said, I'm not answering this.
You're right. All right, well, with that, I need to go eat dinner.
What's for dinner?
I don't know. David's cooking. I have to...
it's going
to
be hot dogs.
I have a school meeting after this.
So. Oh, okay. Do you want me to come?
Sure, yeah.
I can't, I'm busy.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye everyone.